everyone, welcome to Football Twaddle. My name is Saru, and as usual, I am sitting only with my producer and the sound guy in the studio because Baru is on Skype.
Just voices in your head, Saru.
Where are you, man? Is this like the sixth sense?
No, I'm the inner voice. I'm your conscience speaking.
Oh, you're like the Adolf in Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, damn it. Stop giving me spoilers.
Dude, that's not a spoiler. That was there in the trailer only.
You spoiled the trailer for me.
No? So we'll watch the movie. When are we watching the movie, by the way?
Because we have to watch Parasite first.
Yes, there's so many things to watch, Baru. I mean, if you like taken the pains to come and do the podcast here live, then we could have gone for the movie.
Yeah, let's go tomorrow.
All right, cool. Then now that's sorted.
The rest of our listeners.
All right, we also have to talk about football. Azim, our good friend. Azim, what's up?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Sarubia?
I'm good. Azim was reluctant to come on the podcast till we started getting this HDFC Life money. Now he's like all excited about it.
Yeah. All pretty much. I'm ready. Deepak, I'm going to ask for a check from Deepak Parekh only.
Directly. Dude, Deepak.
Just share your GST in
advance. Yeah. Oh. But then Azim's name won't be in GST 2, B, 3, R, whatever.
That discussion is for us. Let's table that for another day. Yeah? I need to have that one.
Oh, all right.
The one which had started happening in that particular group.
Oh, yeah, guys, I mean, on that note, you think all these transfers have any GST or TDS impact?
Only if you declare.
On the club's revenue, yes. They have to declare. Yes, on the club's revenue. On the club's revenue, yes. But then I think every country has different laws. That's why it's...
Azim is talking about FPL.
FPL? Oh, no. No GST and all on FPL.
Imagine FPL points pe FPL weekly points pe TDS katega.
To stoop bhai highest hote bhai. Tax ke bhi jo highest hote stoop bhai. Top kar deta abhi.
Exactly. All right, guys. Let's do this. On the weekend, we had Chelsea play Leicester City. It was 2-2, but Azim, obviously you're on the podcast. We need to talk about Chelsea. Why is Frank Lampard, being a Mourinho, not choosing Michy to come on, and instead of he chose Ross Barkley? What's the messaging? Why is he sending such messages to the board?
I think that wasn't a bad change, to be very honest. Ross Barkley had a good game before that game. He started the game. That's one. He started club cup games for Chelsea, and he's done well in that position. Plus, I think we were losing a little bit of energy in the midfield. So, it was necessary. Plus, Jorginho was on a yellow card. So, I don't think he had much of an option but to get Kovacic and Barkley, both of them on. Couldn't replace Kante because I think he was the best player on the pitch for Chelsea on that particular night. So, the only option he had to take them off.
Dude, he's been crying about a striker, right? Like, right after the transfer window closed, also he's crying. Right, but this
season... Even Tammy Abraham came ahead and told that he really wanted Edinson Cavani to come and be a sort of mentor for him to grow into a better striker.
So Tammy can say whatever he wants. The club didn't buy a striker, and Frank Lampard is trying to like hide behind this striker thing now, where he has Giroud and as well as Michy Batshuayi there in the squad.
When did he try and hide behind? I have not heard a single conference where he said that I don't have a striker or something. I have not heard him say something. If he had, I don't know about it. But yes, that's correct. We do have Michy Batshuayi and Giroud. But do you really think that they are up to the level to perform in the Premier League right now? No offense, Barubia, but Giroud is not in his prime anymore. And plus, Giroud is a kind of striker who would like to have a few games, like a run of games to get his touch and things like those.
Then why not sell Giroud? Like Giroud wanted to go, right?
Just he was about to depart for Inter Milan, if I'm not wrong, right? For this particular window only. And something went wrong.
I heard Tottenham as well. And suppose...
I think then that can be the case. That because of Tottenham, we might not have...
No. So from what I understand after reading enough things is that Chelsea basically started off searching for Cavani, Timo Werner and everyone under the sun, right? And then they were willing to let Giroud even go to Tottenham if they found a striker, but they couldn't find a striker. So they basically told Giroud he can't go, and then he's not even in the matchday squad.
Wouldn't Ighalo should have
When did Ighalo become the most sought after striker in the world? What is this Nigerian game you guys are playing?
Apparently he turned down a Barcelona move.
What?
So that he could come to the revered halls of Old Trafford.
Achha? He rejected a Barcelona. Achha, haan, even Barcelona are in a search. They should have signed Giroud. Giroud is that kind of a striker. Giroud and Griezmann together would have linked up well.
Dude, Barcelona is Messi. If Giroud and Griezmann link up, no one cares. Where's Messi in the equation? Who cares if Griezmann and Giroud are passing the ball to each other? Messi ka hai, wait.
Even if Dembele, that would have been a front three of the French national team. Giroud, Griezmann and Dembele.
You're going to start Messi as a defensive midfielder now?
Central midfielder, playmaker, deep lying playmaker Leo Messi,
which he anyway did. But yeah, Baru, what's the talk in Nigeria about Ighalo moving to Old Trafford? Are you happy? I heard there were celebrations in Nigeria.
No one cares really. I mean, you know, they were just hoping that he'd come back and play for like Julius Berger FC or something, but
Julius Berger FC,
the Kharvapsi just didn't happen.
It may still happen, no? From Manchester United, he can go. And the only reason Manchester United got Ighalo is because of the coronavirus. This is because Chinese Super League is suspended and they're trying to just get all these wages off their books. So they're willing to sell whoever possible. So that's amazing. Coronavirus worked for Manchester United.
How much did United pay for him? I don't have a clue.
He's on a loan deal, but he was on like some £250,000 a week or some crazy number like that.
Wow, so that is the kind of bill, their wage bill that United are going to put up.
I don't know, dude. But United have like massive fan following in China.
For Ighalo. What I don't get is they already have Mason Greenwood who's not even able to start games. And everybody has been praising and gung-ho about Mason Greenwood. You go ahead and get Ighalo because Rashford got injured. How do you think is Ighalo going to get the ground running from the first game itself?
He won't because he's not played since December. So he's not going to get the ground running till March.
So by that time, I think Champions League spots would also be sealed. If you're talking March.
Really? You think Chelsea is going to, talking back about Chelsea, you think Chelsea is going to lock down their Champions League spot?
See, listen, if we get a few results in the next few games, I think it can be sealed because we have Spurs and we have United in the next few.
Can you tell, can you make an even more generic statement than Azim did? If you get a few results in a few games, you can lock down a spot.
Not a few games, the next few games I said, we have Chelsea, we face United.
Yeah, I mean, if you want points, you should avoid losses.
Wow.
Come on, that wasn't the kind of statement I made, but fine. I'm not going to get into the depths of it. The next few games, we face the competitors who are competing for the fourth spot.
Yeah.
So if we can beat them and get a result, we establish a good lead.
Azim, what do you think about this truism as well? If you don't concede a goals, you will have a clean sheet.
I don't think that is even deducing anything. It's just two facts stated as one. There's no deduction.
Wow, that's a fact.
I think we should just shut the podcast down and just have a group discussion. That would be better. I think at least the listener would be spared.
Podcast, Azim, is a group discussion.
But at least the listeners have to get something out of it. The only thing they are getting out of this is how to be bad at making statements.
Alright, so let's talk about something.
Not to me.
Yeah, alright Baru, since Azim is threatening to shut down the podcast, let's make some true statements. Will this Liverpool side go down in history as the best Premier League side to have played during a season?
Right now, I mean, they are. At this stage, it's already done, I mean, for them. 25 games,
73 out of 75 points. Dude, those are unreal numbers.
Yeah, so at this point, they are the best team to have ever played in the Premier League or in the English top division for that matter, since history did not start in 92,
91. Wow. So what?
2003 for that matter.
So what is going to change? What is going to change then? Like, what should they, how should they f*** up to not be called the best Premier League side ever?
If Jurgen Klopp suddenly realizes that he has the space and the, you know, he can actually take a sidestep, slow down in the Premier League and focus more on, you know, retaining the Champions League.
Hmm.
That could actually, you know, get in a few losses, drop some points. He would still end up winning the league.
Hmm.
But he would also ensure that he could have a double, if not a treble, on his hands, which would make Liverpool not only like the best team to have played in the Premier League, but also one of the best teams to have played in Europe.
Yeah, so you're saying in addition to being the best side in the Premier League, right? Because if Jurgen Klopp drops points, he'll reach 105 points probably this season. It's been that dominating. Dude, this is just crazy numbers, man. How can a team play 25 games and have won 24? Like, these are unheard of stats.
Yeah, and especially, like, I mean, it works both ways with VAR in the situation. You can say that it's supposed to be reducing wrong decisions.
Hmm.
But, yeah, even with a system like VAR, which a lot of people are saying is actually supporting Liverpool and ignoring the fact that even on the other end of the pitch, Liverpool had a few fouls which weren't given and which didn't go to VAR. But, yeah, absolutely. They are, at this stage, they're the best. The only thing that can go wrong right now is if they lose a couple of matches and one, they won't have that unbeaten season. And but yeah,
really?
They have only City's record to beat. Right,
is unbeaten, Azim, is unbeaten season the only benchmark? Like, this team is going to like end the league, end the season with 104, 105 points. So what if they lost one?
You,
so
City,
what if they lost
only
one game?
That they beat right now.
I think it changes a lot of things if you lose that one game. You lose that invincibility tag. You're not invincible. And I think knowing how Klopp is going for the record. Klopp has not rested his team. He's not rested his fullbacks, who he doesn't have that much of a cover for. He's gone with his full strength side in every Premier League game there is to play against any opposition.
There was this one game where he rested Trent Arnold, Alexander Arnold.
Hmm.
Yes.
And he got him in 20, 30 minutes into the game. It's
because Gomez wasn't cutting it. Gomez wasn't cutting it on the right hand side of defense.
Exactly.
So Gomez was
that is the type of person Klopp is. That is the type of person Klopp is. I mean, the minute he saw that something wasn't going right, he didn't like just go ahead with his initial decision that, you know, fine, we have a huge lead right now. What's the point? You know, let me just rest one of the best fullbacks in the world instead of, you know, risking him to injury.
Mm-hmm.
But no. So, you know, a pragmatic approach would have been for him to like start resting his main players and focus on the cup competitions right now, because he has an unassailable lead right now in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And there is no way like any team is going to bottle it. I mean, that it, in any, you know, team from Liverpool can bottle it right now.
Yeah, but see, he will seal the league in another 5-6 games, right? So then he will start resting people, play all the cup competitions, aram se. Like, it just,
no, I don't think so.
They just need,
and he shouldn't either.
They just need 18
he
points
shouldn't.
More. So they'll do it.
Yeah. But see, Saru, at the end of the day, the point is that the best Premier League team to have ever played, that would get decided at the end of the season. So if he, you know, wraps up the league and he rests his players and then they drop points and all, and then they do not break City's record of like most points ever, then again, I mean, when you look back in like in the history books, you're going to see only stats and it's going to be like, okay, fine, City were the best side.
I think the reason is much more fundamental than the one Barubia is talking about. Barubia is talking about what is going to happen in the end. I'm going to talk about what will happen during the season if he starts resting his players. See, his players are all accustomed to playing with one another. The reason why any manager, and Klopp especially, or Pep for that matter, in certain circumstances, does not change the core of his team, because his team are habituated to playing in a certain way. you start taking personnel off and putting in other personnel there, they are not going to respond. If you will see, Oxlade-Chamberlain was nowhere close to how Mane plays. Okay, it's just that it was Southampton and they could capitalize on some errors from that side and plus some good, some really good play from Liverpool and things like that. There was gulfing class between both the teams, but the Liverpool of the Liverpool at 100% has to have Mane. Without Mane, Liverpool does not look the same threat they are going ahead.
Yeah, that is true.
So once you start resting these players, their cup competitions are also going to get affected. Why? It's because week in, week out, I'm not playing with the same players. Okay, certain players will be playing with some player at the, on the weekend. Suddenly, in the middle of the week, you're playing with some another player at that particular position. So you are not, you're constantly changing with one another. I don't say one should not rotate. But Klopp is not the kind of manager who believes in a lot of rotation. Especially his core, he's not going to change his core. A few players here and there, like probably rotating a Wijnaldum or a Henderson or a Fabinho in midfield with Toxic, Chamberlain and Keita and Lallana and all. A few things here and there, yes, but I don't think he's changing his core.
Man, that... Oh, by the way, guys, I read a report on The Athletic. Do you remember about a season 1.5, 2 years ago, we made fun of Klopp giving... reasons like the wind, the air and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you know the whole story behind that. I actually read it today. So Klopp's complaint was that the pitch was getting too dry because of the way the wind flows, and that was not helping Liverpool play. And he actually went ahead and FSG, the Fenway Sports Group, actually changed the entire pitch, and the pitch has now the best system for drainage system and the sprinklers and everything. They can like sprinkle water on the pitch like in 3 minutes, and that supposedly the pitch guy actually talks to Klopp every week and they figure out how the pitch should be for the game. It's actually gone to that level of detailing. So he was not like faffing around by just giving reasons of the wind. They actually went and they spent millions in changing the entire pitch of Anfield, I read.
But even Pep Guardiola has had these kind of issues in the past, no? Whenever, I think during his Barcelona days, he did complain about the width of the pitch in one of the games. And then again in one of the games, he was complaining about the length of the
grass blade,
because it was a little more than it should have been. The ball wasn't going as fast or slicking. His team is all about slick passing, okay? That happens if the pitch is meant for that kind of passing. It will not have longer
Pep
grass.
Or Arteta now.
And, but Pep and Arteta are concurrent in a lot of ways, okay? And I think Pep has rubbed off in the right way. Pep and Arteta, I've heard very, very similar statements coming from both. Yeah, Arteta, even in certain press conferences of his, and from what I heard of in Football Twaddle podcast last time about people not being at a proper physical level. If you see Manchester City's training regime, it's unbelievable. The kind of training Pep puts you through, I don't think clubs are
accustomed to it.
I don't think players in other clubs are in a physical condition to play for a Pep side.
Oh, by the way,
it takes a lot out of you.
On this whole pitch thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Baru.
Yeah, the pitch is like such a big factor. Then what Burnley did by letting the grass grow and all, that was just the perfect way to counter it, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes. How else would you press a home advantage, right?
You see De Bruyne passing the ball on the ground, a 40-yard or a 50-yard ball on the ground. You think that can happen at Turf Moor if Turf Moor is allowed to grow a little, probably by...
By what?
The ball travels all the way to where it travels. To put that kind of a ball... to put that kind of a ball into the feet of an attacker, you need that kind of a pitch. Otherwise, that's not going to work.
And the last thing on the pitch, Baru, you know what? Once my man Mourinho did, he was playing Barcelona, which had Ronaldinho then. And obviously, that Barcelona was known for slick passing and everything. They cut all the grass from Stamford Bridge. It was just brown. The whole pitch was brown. And you know what reason? They came out with a statement saying that we had a bug infestation on the pitch, so it's undergoing massive repairs. So this is the best pitch we can put out. And they watered the muddied pitch so much that it was like puddles of mud on the pitch, and Barcelona pass bhi nahi de pa raha tha.
we really need to talk about that one too. The incident where Sterling should have.
Yes. Probably, but
Mourinho thought that Sterling should be sent off.
Yes, but we should take a break right now and let's listen to some HDFC Life ads. And after the break, we talk about Manchester City versus or Spurs versus Manchester City. And since Baru is here, let's talk a little about Arsenal on how they have won. Like the only two teams which have won lesser than Arsenal this season are Watford and Norwich. Only they've won lesser Premier League games than Arsenal this season. So please stay tuned to Football Total. Hello, welcome back to Football Total. My name is Saru, Baru and Azeem on Skype. Now is the time.
Hey.
Yes, all right. Baru, did you see Mourinho's reaction for Sterling not getting the second red card?
Oh, yeah.
Second yellow.
Classic.
Dude, the amount of...
he was laughing at one point of time. Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's a meme, but Ian Wright was laughing, was really laughing. And the way he was smiling and laughing at the save Gazzaniga made, and suddenly... his assistant made him realize that, okay, he has not complained to the fourth official about a second yellow being shown to Sterling.
Yo,
and he went and barraged the fourth official.
Man, that was so funny. he was just laughing. I think he was laughing at the absurdity of the entire thing, but somehow Bach Gaye types. So they were just sitting down. And
yeah, because the only meme I've seen till now about it is like... Mourinho and his assistant when Heung-min Song sneezes nearby.
oh god. there's one more meme.
That's a dark one.
There's one more meme I saw where they said that, you know, Mourinho is every guy who's just hanging out with his friends and suddenly realizes tu dubal raha hai kitchen mein.
What middle-aged friends goals are these, man?
Dude, those are the kind of memes I get. So, oh man, I'm just so happy he's back in the Premier League. That guy is pure entertainment, if not anything.
There's no doubt about that one.
Okay, so let's talk about this Spurs versus Manchester City. Where, man, what a game it was. It was just so freaking weird. And obviously Spurs rode their luck. But the minute that red card was given, before City could adjust, Spurs had two goals in. That is some sort of efficiency, dudes.
I think Spurs went with a game plan. Some kind of efficiency, he said. See, Spurs always had a game plan to counter City. And whatever you say that the red card made the difference and the goals were scored after the red card, I felt that Spurs were excellent defensively. And this was one of the first game, to be very honest, this was the first Spurs game where I saw a Mourinho defense come on the pitch. Okay, before that...
No, come on. They defended... dude, I've seen quite a few Spurs games. They defended much better against Liverpool. This was just...
Yeah. No. Over here, if you will see, Tanganga did not make a single mistake in this particular game. If you see Aurier, except for that penalty which he gave over there, which is to be expected from... Aurier. But still, the penalty, except for that penalty he took, I think Spurs were just too good as far as their defense is concerned. Yes, they never wanted to. They always sat back. They had a counter-attacking idea, plan, like every team does against Man City, except Chelsea, of course. But Chelsea had better possession, the highest against any Pep Guardiola side.
Well, that's all. I think we should just like base the table on possession.
Even in the Man City game, Man City still had more possession than Spurs, but still Spurs managed to win. I think the scoreline matters the most. Possession stats don't.
Yeah, as an Arsenal fan, I agree.
Oh, Baru, that's a question for you. If possession stats were the benchmark for giving 3 points to team, you think Arsenal would be higher than like 10th in the table?
Definitely. We'd be like 5th.
Really? Are they the 5th most, 5th best side with possession in Premier League?
No, I think we're only talking about the first 30 minutes.
Achha, aise. What happened against Burnley, man? Baru, did you watch that game? I heard they started well and then it was just all boring.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to stick to my manager's comments on this, that the grass just grew like longer in the
during the game.
I don't think Arteta made that kind of I never heard the press conference. Arteta said that.
That the grass grew during the game.
No, that's my spin on it.
Oh god, that would be so weird.
Come on. Everybody beat Burnley.
He just said that the grass was uncut in a lot.
Oh, you know what Burnley should have done? If there was a technology to grow grass in like 15 minutes, Burnley in the side Arsenal are attacking the first half, they would have grown the grass longer. And half time pick would change kar diya. So Arsenal like, what the hell, man? The other side has more grass now also. That would have been
what
cool.
Juju is this?
Yeah. But is that what else did Arteta say other than grass grew?
No, that's the only thing like that stood out.
We had a friend of ours who asked if Martinelli is going to start every game. Did he even start this game?
Yes.
Yep.
And
it was actually a pretty, a top-heavy lineup, especially with the fact that we had Oba, Lacazette and Martinelli playing up top. And they were playing pretty well. It was only the finishing that really, really lacked. It was totally not EPL level.
You know.
Reminded me of like ISL or something.
Yeah, but you know, who should have won that game? Burnley. Did you see Jay Rodriguez miss?
Like, yeah, man.
So, for all your complaining, Burnley should have won that game.
Yes, yes. Burnley should have won that game.
If you're comparing misses, then Aubameyang and Lacazette missed from like 5 and 10 yards out, man. So,
why?
So, I think we are ahead over there.
Oh, did
Sterling? No, still the best chance of the game fell to Jay Rodriguez. That has to be the case.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, from like the box, man. Like from the penalty spot, a header.
So did he?
Still, a header is a header.
Another truism by Aziz.
I don't know what. This was only the second time
in Arsenal's history that they've drawn against Burnley. I'm just glad we didn't lose because that's what it looked like. They've never lost to them.
Really?
New records being made in all directions. Liverpool are on some another track. Arsenal are on some another track. We are on some another track, I think.
Arsenal is probably
establishing their own records.
What is the highest numbers of draws in a league?
I don't know.
I think we'll be giving you close. We'll give you a tough competition for sure.
Okay, right now in the league, Arsenal has 13 draws, which is the highest. And second highest, Wolves is second highest with 11 draws. So if Arsenal are not careful, they lose that table also in highest number of draws.
So in all time, I think it's 17 games is the record.
In draws?
And 17 draws is the record for like three teams have it. Do you guys want to guess which three teams those are?
Okay, you need to, let's go turn. You need to give us at least one hint to start with.
Alan Shearer.
Newcastle United.
Newcastle.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the second team?
John Terry.
Chelsea.
Chelsea, don't tell me.
No.
Aston Villa.
The Claret and Blues, not just the Blues.
Aston Villa.
Yep.
Oh, okay. But this was Aston Villa without John Terry, right?
Sean Dyche.
Yeah. Oh, all right. What's the third
this
one?
This is when they had Robbie Keane.
The Sean Dyche.
This is when they had Darren Bent, Akbar Lahore, and Robbie Keane.
Oh God, that team. Oh. I feel so old now.
Newcastle had 56 points. Huh. They had 13 wins, 17 draws, and 8 losses.
Okay.
And just 4 points shy of top 4. Aston Villa,
I think
38
we are
points.
Having a similar season.
Aston Villa went 38 points, just 2 points clear of relegation.
Wow, with 17
so seven
draws.
Seven wins, 17 draws and 14 losses.
Dude, that
and, oh my god.
Okay, what's the third
worst,
one?
Worst, actually tied with Villa, are Newcastle enemies.
Birmingham City.
Spurs.
No. Sunderland.
Sunderland. Dude, we can't even bother.
What, Sunderland goes out for one season and suddenly you guys forget about
it's
like,
not
the derby, you know?
Baru, it's not
Black
one.
Cats.
It's not one season. It's
I
been
think
quite
out
some
for,
time.
They've been out, three seasons, I guess. They've not been in the Premier League since three.
And even their supporters don't go to their club anymore.
Even they had 38 points. And 7 wins, 17 draws, 14 losses. Same as Aston Villa.
Wow. So
I feel they have the best named stadium. Sunderland.
Stadium of Light.
Yes.
And there's there's so much darkness around that area.
Gloom.
It's just gloom.
It's just ironical, right? Yeah. Stadium of Light.
And nickname is the Black Cats.
So yeah. Obviously.
Darkness. Black
all right. The last thing
to start noir.
Except for the team.
Yeah. Okay, guys, we need to move on. The last thing we need to talk about is Bruno Fernandes. Oh my God, I just feel so sad that Manchester United is going to ruin his career.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, you could actually see it. Like, our man was like receiving the ball and then trying to pass it, and he's telling people, "Why are you not making the run? Bhago yaar se," and everything. It was just, it was.
And everyone is just staring at him, and they're like, "Bruno, what is this behavior?"
Yeah, dude. It was.
You are the newcomer here.
Yeah, it was.
And did you just see how much at home he felt when he actually pulled on that Wolves jersey?
Oh yeah, yeah. All his friends are in play for Wolves.
Did he exchange it with? He exchanged it with Neto, right? Pedro Neto. He exchanged it with Pedro Neto, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the
match.
He could have exchanged.
And even De Gea thought that he was like a Wolves player.
Oh, yeah. Oh God, I'm sure even Solskjaer thought he was a Wolves player. That's why he like stopped Bruno Fernandes from attacking. He said, "Nee, piche, piche."
Can we just check the paparazzi feeds and all just to make sure that he went back in the United team bus and not with Wolves or something?
I think it's
suddenly next week find out he's playing for Wolves week in, week out, and no one's noticing.
I think it's written in his contract that he trains with Wolves but plays for United on Saturdays. Oh man, but what was Solskjaer doing, man? Fernandes was at least starting to do something, and then Solskjaer puts Andres Pereira in attacking midfield and asks Bruno Fernandes to go defensive midfielder. Like, why? What sort of manager? Why would he do this?
Well, I think because Pereira has more experience in the Premier League.
Dude, it does not matter. Why did you buy Bruno Fernandes then?
I don't think he's bought Bruno Fernandes for the goals. I think he's bought Bruno Fernandes to start controlling the midfield.
No, he bought Bruno Fernandes just for this one game against Wolves so that he could understand what the Wolves players are saying.
Mira,
I thought he was
Mira,
for the
pass,
creativity part.
Pass, Mira, pass.
Ab kya bol rahe?
Sir, Adama speaks English also. He's saying just screaming pass. You don't need me to translate that.
Oh, Maguire did a full-on Ramos, huh? The shoulder has been... They just told that the shoulder is dislocated. So he might be out for a few weeks.
Bruno...
Wait, hold on. What is they told? Who is this they? Who is telling you?
The club. Oh. The club issued a statement telling that Adama Traore has had a dislocated shoulder.
Okay. Really?
Yes. That Maguire challenge was was a dislocated shoulder. I did discuss on the group that he almost did a Ramos.
But the laws of physics says Adama's massive muscles would be able to withstand Maguire's like puny muscles.
I don't think Maguire's puny, but I think it just depends on what angle the shoulder was. I don't know much, but I saw it on TV. It did not look that bad. I don't know.
Bro, relatively, everything is puny, man, in front of Adama Traore.
Yeah, come on, Azeem.
Oh, like, yeah. Except, I think Virgil van Dijk, probably. Virgil van Dijk's not
puny. Coming back to Bruno, he was actually voted the man of the match.
Dude, he was actually quite good. I am telling you, it's going to end in so much disappointment that his dream move has come at this time. And he's being managed by Solskjaer. That guy is just going... You know, all the United players pass the ball to Bruno, thinking he'll do something, and they just stop. They don't run also. And Bruno is like, what do I do with this? Lingard once.
He's the new Jorginho or something?
Dude, Jorginho...
No, please. I pray that we don't pass to Jorginho. Still, we do pass to Jorginho, but... Because Jorginho is a defensive liability. Okay, he's creative side of the game.
Do you see the type of people you're getting in your show?
I know, but Azeem is not going to... Azeem is
you
not,
allow him.
Azeem is
you
not,
allow him
Azeem is not entitled to sponsorship money anymore.
I am not going to change my views based on sponsorship money, okay? Jorginho really is a defensive liability. The only thing he can do is take a yellow card. Okay, if someone starts running from
And, dude, Jorginho is the best penalty taker in the Premier League.
Yeah, okay, chalo. Statistically speaking, probably he might be okay in the Premier League. I don't, but he's a good penalty taker. There's no doubt about that one. But that doesn't give him the right to be a even Milivojevic is a good penalty taker, yeah.
But
that doesn't mean you start playing Milivojevic in your midfield, right? Look, he can definitely play in Crystal Palace, but not at Chelsea.
You guys know stuff.
Okay, fine, guys, fine. Let's just end this debate on the fact that Azim doesn't understand football and
yeah.
Saru.
Yeah. Like,
can we go back to like manager saying funny things because Solskjaer had something to say in the press conference?
Yes, Baru.
Yes.
I know what you're going to say, but please go ahead.
Well, there are two things. I want to see which one can you guess. Like, what do you think?
I'm guessing the one where he told how many teams have you seen get past Spurs. Sorry, get past
Wolves.
And 10 days back, they had only beaten Wolves. Yes.
And Saru, what do you think?
No, I was thinking of the same thing.
You both are wrong. I was talking about how he joked about the ground staff moving the goal.
What?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No, after listening to that statement on Wolves, I just switched off.
He's like, the ground staff, you know, have totally moved the goal like half a yard or something because we were so close in the second half.
Oh, God.
Oh, please, Ole. So, come up with better reasons, man.
So this,
but yeah, again, he talks about being higher on the possession angle of it. So I think even we can add him to the possession league table.
But the thing is, United doesn't even have that much possession. They're always below 50%, like always.
And United were poor on the night. United did not have any structure. United did not have any proper formation. Martial, again, one player who has such a lot of God-given ability, is such a waste on the front line. He doesn't run.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned it twice on the podcast as well. Bruno would have the ball. Now the run needs to be made. The only guy who's running is Dan James and Van Bissaka on the right. They are the only two people running. And Fred is running like a headless chicken, so that doesn't matter or count.
Yeah.
But...
So we have one United player just running around.
this is the Premier League. It's not a Wuhan meat market that you'd have headless chickens running.
you should see Fred. Okay, Fred just runs. Okay, he's like Pedro. He's like our Pedro. Okay, I remember our Pedro when I see their Fred.
Oh,
just
dude.
Keeps running.
But
you should sit and realize that only running is not going to help.
Fred is like a streaker with a United jersey on. Just running everywhere. Oh man, but I'm just so happy that United are facing so many troubles. Alright, is there anything else you noticed on the weekend, Baru, since you seem to have scanned through all the manager's utterances?
No, that's it.
Oh God.
I think
Solskjaer is not looking forward to the Chelsea match.
Who is not looking for Solskjaer?
Solskjaer, he's like, whoever we are playing against, dekha jayega. He doesn't even know it's Chelsea. Or maybe he's just like writing them up. Mind games.
Oh God, why is Solskjaer playing mind games? He's so bad at it. It's not even like the Mourinho type mind games. This is some first standard mind games. Dekha jayega. Class ke bahar mil 1B ke.
Bournemouth versus Aston Villa was a big, big game as far as the relegation battle is concerned.
And
Bournemouth 1-1.
Yeah, and they had a red card as well. Oh, you know, Josh King, the last thing on the podcast, United before they signed Ighalo, Josh King was waiting for the third bid from Manchester United for Bournemouth to agree, and third bid didn't come at first.
Oh, King would have said, oh shit. I don't think King... would have wanted to go to United, or did he?
Personally, what will he say? He won't say anything. He'll just keep quiet. No.
So no, players come out and say no. That I'd always wanted. I love. It's good to hear that you are. There's interest from these kind of clubs. This has been a childhood dream.
Yeah.
Or I've always wanted to play for a big club like that and things like that. I don't. I've not heard any statements like that from King.
That's what Ozil says about Fenerbahce.
Casola says about Arsenal, man.
Oh, but dude, I think Casola is happy, not Villarreal. He's done with this whole Arsenal thing.
No, he's still saying that, right? He's like, I'd really love to play just one more game for Arsenal if I could.
To say bye to the fans in a proper way.
I'd get him back.
He might again get injured in that particular game. I think it's better he just leaves it at that. He's had a very, very trying time at Arsenal. Probably he should just put it behind him rather than again going back.
All right, guys. The last question. How many points is Liverpool going to end the season with? Baru, you.
They're definitely breaking City's records. So
don't give me qualitative answer. Just give me one number.
What are they on right now?
73 in 25 games. So they have 13 games. They have 39 more points to go.
Yeah, I think they'll get 36 more.
What? 109?
They're going to lose that one game and not be like invincible. Okay.
But they'll end up with 109 points.
Yeah, and I hope they lose the game in the next six games, because then that 49 game streak would at least stay intact, if not the invincibles.
All right, okay. Azeem, what's your guess? What's Liverpool going to end the season at?
106.
106. Wow. I'm going to say 101. They're just going to drop.
101?
Okay.
They'll win the league.
That's a few losses there.
Huh? So?
At White Hart Lane.
No, they're done with all the Spurs games.
So can they actually
have one
win
City game to go?
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. They have
to. They have one City game to go. And do they have one Chelsea game to go as well?
No, but mathematically, yes. Can they win?
Yes, the one at Anfield is left.
Oh, so mathematically they can win before City, and the City will have to give them a guard of honor when they play
guard
them.
Of honor.
Oh, I want.
So is it only City who will have to give a guard of honor, or is it every club after City?
Every club can give guard of honor. No, the manager doesn't have that ego. Pep Guardiola will be crying while giving that guard of honor.
and it will have to happen. Sterling. Happen at the Etihad. It would have to happen at the Etihad, no?
Yeah, it is.
Sterling will have to play that match.
Oh, but Sterling's already won two Premier Leagues. So.
Two Premier Leagues, yeah. But no Champions League, yeah.
Poor guy, man. What did Sterling know that this is Andy Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold going to come?
What did Coutinho,
Suarez, and Sterling think about this, man?
Oh, by the way, when I was reading about that pitch thing, no, Baru and Azeem, when I was reading about that pitch thing, you know, whom did Liverpool hire for as their pitch curator? Or from which club did they hire?
Javed Habib from Mumbai FC.
Dude, what bald pitch. There's a Mourinho type one hire, that is.
Rohit Barate from.
Abe, from which club did Liverpool? From which club did Liverpool hire their head pitch curator or whoever? This has to be easy, guys. Who does Liverpool hire from?
Southampton.
Yes, they stole Southampton's pitch guy also.
Oh man, I think Liverpool's next manager is going to be Hassan Hoodle.
Oh, poor thing. All right. Thanks a lot, Azeem, for coming in.
It's a pleasure being here.
And Baru, see you at the movies tomorrow.
Yep, with a newfound money.
Oh, yeah. No, that money will take some time to come. But guys, if you need life insurance, HDFC Life it is. Please.
And no, not Kona Kotak.
After that, if you need more insurance, go to Kotak.
That's a lot of insurance and a lot of lives to lose.
Our target audience is mid is men after 55 who just watch TV, so I think we're hitting the sweet spot.
And listen to podcast.
Exactly. Alright, and if all of you
for people in Cambodia who are wondering what HDFC Life and Kotak Life are, please Google it.
And you'll see one of the toddlers there. In a red tie.
On www.youtube.com/HDFC Life. Or watch a movie in PVR Cinemas to see one of the toddlers in red tie. All right, I think we've gone on long enough now. Please follow us at @FootyTwaddle on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook would be Football Twaddle. We may post something this week, so it's an exciting time to follow us. All right, guys.
Wait. Before you go, a lot of people are asking, like, what does the winner of the Football Twaddle Fantasy League get? So can you answer it?
Don't do a lot of people. Is it who? Tell me the name.
It's Rudra Joshi.
Is Rudra Joshi even winning anything in our fantasy league?
He is definitely like making moves to the top.
All right. So tell Rudra Joshi, if he wins for the month, he's going to get a merchandise from his favorite club. I know his favorite club is Chelsea, right? So he needs to just send out his address and we will send something to him. But if he wins the season, I don't know. We have to think about what's the price.
It's the favorite merchandise from my favorite club.
Oh God, a David Luiz torn jersey. Or hair of David Luiz. All right. So please convey that to Rudra Rishi and all of you. Even you heard it. All right.
Wait, you didn't answer the season thing.
Season thing? No, I said we have to think of it, but if we are giving club merchandise out for monthly winners, season thing has to be something spectacular. So, yeah, it'll be good.
Oh, we'll give Arush's Baku ticket for the Euros.
Yes. Oh, yeah. quarterfinal ticket for Euro 2020 for one match in Baku. That ticket is yours. Dude, that is so exciting. Dude, that's so cool. So, guys, if you win...
I don't think Rudra Joshi would want that, but fine.
We will give
it. I think he would settle... He would settle with the monthly reward. Like, fine, wo monthly wala hi de do yaar.
Are, why are you deciding for Rudra Joshi? No, let him sell the Baku ticket for all I care.
I think I would. He would like to go to Azerbaijan, I guess.
Yeah, you never know. So, yes. Okay, we've gone on for too long. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.